Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. Last time on Hope for Today, we began a study from Luke chapter 9 and verses 7 to 22 titled, Who Do You Say That I Am? As we began our study, I said this text shows us the responses of three groups of people to that question. The first response we looked at was a sinner's perplexity. We return to our study today to look at the second response to this question. And the second response is a disciple's uncertainty. As we resume our study, let me read the text, Luke chapter 9 and verses 7 to 22. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, You give them something to eat. And they said, We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, Who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, The Christ of God. And he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Are you perplexed, confused, or unsure about who Jesus is? And that second response is the disciples' uncertainty. In these next 7 verses, we see this response of uncertainty. And as we examine this response, we realize there are 2 groups of disciples that are in view here. First, there are the 12, and then there are the multitude. And within that multitude, there are varying degrees of disciples. Now, there's another fact I want to introduce. The feeding of the 5,000, as we often refer to it, is the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 of the gospel accounts. And we glean some additional details about what happened as we compare those various accounts. And so I'll mention some of those details where they're appropriate. Verse 10 provides a detail that sets the stage for what is about to happen. The 12 have returned from their evangelistic trip, and they report to Jesus about all the things that happened. Jesus understands this kind of ministry, and he knows it can be tiring. So he leads the 12 away into a deserted place, an uninhabited place, for rest and recuperation. Mark records Jesus as saying these words, "Come apart and rest a while." That's Mark 6:31. One writer who commented on those words of Jesus said, "If we don't come apart and rest, we'll eventually just come apart." The area Jesus chose for their retreat was around Bethsaida. This town was built by Philip the Tetrarch. He was a brother of Herod Antipas, and it was on the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was outside the reach of Herod Antipas, who had recently, as we said, beheaded John the Baptist. Now, as so often was the case in Jesus' ministry, when he sought time alone for prayer and rest, the people would find out where he was, and they would flock to that area. And that's a situation that repeats itself in verse 11. Now, instead of retreating to another place, Jesus meets them and provides healing for those who need healing. Seeing Jesus put aside his own needs in order to minister to the people should have helped the 12 and the other disciples understand who Jesus was. But you know, they're a lot like us. We're often slow to grasp the obvious. Now, I want you to reflect with me on a question. Is it unfair to think that the 12, after all the experiences that they had had with Jesus and on their recent mission trip, should have had a greater degree of certainty about who Jesus was? After all, verse 6 of this chapter tells us that they, that's the 12, went everywhere preaching the gospel and healing people. So they obviously understood that the power they exercised didn't belong to them. It wasn't their own power. It was power that had been delegated to them by Jesus. As Jesus teaches the people about the kingdom of God and as he heals those who need healing, the people lose all track of time and the day slips toward its close. You know, I can imagine the 12 watching the sun going down lower and lower, and they're starting to get nervous. Finally, they came to Jesus and they advised him to send the multitude away so they could find food and a place to spend the night. But before we look at Jesus' response to the disciples, let me ask you this. Where did these people come from? Why were so many people in this uninhabited place? Well, John chapter 6 and verse 6 gives us the answer, at least in part. It was close to the time of Passover, so multitudes of Jewish people were on the road toward Jerusalem. The Via Maris was the main road that passed south and east through the region of Galilee, and it later connected with the hill road that led to Jerusalem. So it's likely that many in this crowd were on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. The disciples' response in verse 12 supports this idea because they mentioned that the people would need lodging. Local people don't have a need to find lodging. They can just go to their homes. Well, in response to the disciples' advice to send them away, Jesus says something quite shocking. "No, you give them something to eat." What a contrast between the callousness of the 12 and the compassion of Jesus. And the verb tense that's used here indicates that Jesus meant to do it right now, do it immediately. Give them something to eat. Can you imagine? What? Feed a crowd of 5,000 men, plus women and children? We only have 5 barley loaves. That was the bread of the poorest people. And we only have 2 small fish. And how far will that go among so many people? That was their surprised response. I believe Jesus' actions here are an attempt to lay their uncertainty to rest. The disciples are focused on the enormity of the need, but Jesus is focused on the sufficiency of the provider. He might have said, "If I can heal all manner of diseases, raise the dead, deliver the demon-possessed, and calm the sea, don't you think I can provide food for this multitude?" He didn't say that. Instead, he simply tells the disciples to have the people sit down, or literally recline, in groups of 50. Reclining was a typical posture for eating in the New Testament. So imagine with me, if you will, more than 100 groups of 50 people reclining, in Mark's words, on the green grass. It seems to me that the willingness of the people to obey this order showed a level of trust and expectation that went beyond the faith of the 12. Then, when everybody was ready, Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and the Greek here indicates that the fish were very small, and he gave thanks to the Father for his provision. After the prayer, he gave the loaves and fish to the disciples to distribute among the multitude. Now again, try to enter into this scene. Try to picture in your mind what this must have been like. In fact, picture yourself as one of the disciples handing out the food. So you break off a piece of bread or fish and you give it to someone, and yet the supply in your hand isn't diminished. You just keep giving and giving and giving. It's incredible. And not only that, there's a detail in this scripture that's important. When everyone is fully satisfied, they're all finished eating, Jesus commands them to gather up the fragments that remain. Why? So nothing is wasted. And they gathered up 12 baskets full. Now, we don't know for sure how large these baskets were, but the point is, the disciples thought the resources they had were inadequate for the size of the need. And Jesus showed them that his ability to provide was even greater than the need. I wonder what thoughts about Jesus may have been running through the minds of the 12 as each of them stood there holding their basket of leftovers. More importantly, what thoughts are running through your mind as you reflect on this miracle? You know, as I reflect on my own experience, I sense a sort of kinship with the 12. Like them, I've seen Jesus do amazing things for me and for others. I believe he has the power to do anything he wills. But my problem is not unbelief, in the sense that he can't do something. My problem is uncertainty that he will perform the way I want him to in the situation. That reveals to me a bigger problem. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Who Do You Say That I Am? The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Who Do You Say That I Am? I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And request your free copy of this teaching, Who Do You Say That I Am? It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue this study, Who Do You Say That I Am? And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.